When you think of a father's love, what do you think of? A love limited by maybe human weakness, maybe a love that, if you had a negative experience, was cold and distant. Maybe a love that was very sincere and well-directed, but you didn't always appreciate it as you should have appreciated your father's love. We should be thankful for the love of our earthly fathers and even the picture that that gives when it's directed rightly of God, our Father's love. That's what I want us to focus on this morning, a growing and a proper understanding of what the Father's love is, that we would grow in thankfulness, but also strength, knowing that this is the way God loves. And if you're a father here, that should impact the way you father. But even though our own sinfulness comes in the way of doing that perfectly, let's think about the ideal together this morning. Our text is 1 John 3, verse 1. Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us, that we should be called children of God. And over the message this morning, I want you to have this banner. Behold the Father's love. And very briefly, in two thoughts, we'll consider this, and then at the table over communion, we'll consider a third thought. But all of this is so that we would grow in strength, but grow in joy as well as we live as Christians here. And in order to understand this ideal love properly, we need to behold it. And our first thought then is, behold the Father's radically directed love. And really, we need to stand back and be in awe, amazement. We need to look at it, to see it, not just in a glancing way, but we need to gaze at this. What sort of love is this? Let me ask it this way. From what kind of place does such a love come from? If we look at earthly love, our Father's love on earth, It's imperfect always, but what sort of place can produce such perfect love, such radically directed love? This comes from God in heaven. The Heavenly Father is showing how He loves. And in thinking of how best to define God's love, it really escapes words. There's no metaphor or simile that can totally capture this love. It's infinite, it's unique, it's original, it has variety. If you could bring together all the thoughts, all the language about a divine love into one forceful statement, our human understanding of that love wouldn't capture it. God's love is beyond what our human words can put together. And you see, that love then comes from heaven, but it's radically directed because it's coming to earth. The Father's commitment, the Father's affection for His people on earth has been displayed. And just think, God hasn't just looked for the perfect people. He hasn't just looked for angels that have always obeyed. He hasn't just looked at those saints that we think must have had it all together. He loves sinners. This is what the covenant people had to learn already back in Deuteronomy. The Lord did not set His love on you because you were more in number than others, or because you were greater than others, or because you were better behaved than others. No, you were the least of all people, but the Lord loves you because He will keep the oath that He swore. He has promised He would always love His people, and He does. And it's radically directed love then, because the Father not only sends that love down, but He allows sinners here on earth to know Him and to love Him as well. Those who used to rebel, those who were idolaters, those who were abusers, those who were sinners. Those who used to listen to the lies of Satan. Those who used to say, "I have not sinned." Those who used to love the world. Those the Father's love has come down and captured, that they might love the Father as well. And the love of the Father fills them, so that, as John says, the lust of life and the pride of self-centeredness becomes of the past. And just think then of the sins that God's convicted you of. You add them up. Maybe even over the last 2 or 3 months, and you realize they are still contrary to God's way. And I have not loved the Lord my God with all of my heart and all of my soul and all of my strength. I have not given Him all my energy. My mind has not always been the mind of Christ. I've certainly not loved my neighbor as myself. I may even have expressed anger, hatred towards my brothers and sisters. Yet the love of the Father comes down. True. And this love should give us hope then. Why? Because there's no one here this morning who can earn this love. There's no one here who has worked up the merits to get this love. You have nothing to offer that the Father would give that love to you. And yet He hands it out. You know, an imperfect human father may display love on a conditional basis. "Son, if you do this or that, I'll love you back, spend some extra time with you." God doesn't love that way. An imperfect human father may take care of his own biological children, but is he going to take care of his neighbor's children? God comes with radically directed love from a perfect heaven to a sin-filled earth and says, "This is my love, and I want you to see it. I want you to bask in it. And I want you to display that love." You know how often don't we think that sin destroys the bond of love that may be there? And it happens in human relationships, I get that. But God comes and He displays His love, and sinners may run from God and turn from God and go the opposite direction. But does that stop God's love? Just consider Adam and Eve. They disobey, they eat the fruit, they turn their back on Him, they walk away. And what does God do? Does He say, "Enough, okay, if that's the way it's going to be"? No, He goes out and He says, "Where are you? Where are you? I want to love you, I've called you to love me. Where are you?" The Father wasn't a child who needed Adam and Eve's security or Adam and Eve's love. He was the Heavenly Father who wanted to display love to them, radical love, unearned, unmerited. And the beautiful thing this morning is you are reminded of that. God chooses and adopts sinners, rebels, enemies, and then doesn't just say, okay, you're in now, let's close the door. No, he comes and he says, let me show you my love. I have loved you with an everlasting love. I will rejoice over you with gladness. I will quiet you with my love. But there's more. It's not only radically directed love from heaven to earth. Let's stop and behold the Father's gracious, giving love. Our text says the Father has bestowed this. He has freely given this gift of great value. He has given us, yes, all we have. But what is this greatest gift? This love is most manifest. Not in our life and not in our breath and not in our friends, not in even this church coming together. His love is most manifest in His Son. John tells his readers about this in chapter 4. In this, the love of God was manifest toward us, that God sent His only begotten Son into the world that we might live through Him. And this is love, not that we loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation, the satisfaction for our sins. And you see, that love then is sent in Jesus Christ, and it's not just sent dogmatically or in a theological statement. This love is sent in His Son in a personal way, personified way. Behold the love of God as seen in Jesus Christ. He displays grace to broken sinners. Just think of the woman at the well. Her life, full of broken relationships. Woman, let me show you my love. Or displaying patience to fearful and questioning disciples. Just like John's disciples who come and say, are you the Messiah or do we still have to look for another one? He says, let me tell you. He teaches them. It's teaching love. And even displays wisdom and justice and mercy to self-righteous Pharisees and humbled publicans, even as He invites them and says, come and rest in Me. My yoke is not heavy. You see, in this love then that God has is personified in Jesus Christ, and we have this record of Jesus Christ, and not only that, but we have the Spirit confirming it in us. Because as Jesus continues His ministry, it's not just a teaching ministry. He comes and He comes displaying love with suffering sweat. As the anguish of His soul continues through the garden. And the wrath of God against sin is carried by Him. Just think of the love that the Savior has when He's in the courtyard and He hears His own disciple denying Him. He just glances so that love would be known. Then think of the love as He's on the cross. Blood curse of thorns, nails piercing his hands, cries of desertion. In the middle of the darkness. Not just so that the anger of God could be turned away against sin, but so that those who believe on him might be his and know the full redemption of soul and body. Paul writes to the Galatians, God sent forth his Son to redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive adoption as sons. And this doesn't come just to the disciples. This comes to all who believe. As many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name. You see, then this radically directed love doesn't just come to earth and just sit there. This radically directed love comes to earth and it transforms people on earth and it brings them back to the Father. And it's like the father of the prodigal son. The father's looking, welcoming, arms open, embrace given. Welcome home, my son. Welcome home, my daughter. Let me give you a robe. Let me give you a ring. Let us rejoice. I love you. And the graciousness of this love is in our Bibles, yes. But this graciousness of this love comes to you visually this morning in the sacrament. We do this in remembrance of him. Not just of the night Jesus died, but we do it in remembrance of his obedience to the Father that we might have life. We do it remembering even the Father's love. Because this love gives life. And this is the testimony that God has given us, eternal life. And this life is in his Son. He who has the Son has life. And he who does not have the Son does not have life. Why not? Because when the kindness and love of God, our Savior, toward men appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us through the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us through Jesus Christ our Savior, that having been justified by his grace, we should become heirs according to the hope of eternal life. The Father's love comes down and it regenerates and it gives new life. That's focusing on God's love. Perfect. Coming down. Transforming. And it's when we see our sin and how greatly we don't deserve this love. And how even the past week and month of our lives has negated what we've been given, if it was that way. See, then our love to God ought to grow, and the value of Christ becomes clearer, and the display of the Father's love even more awesome than ever. And may that fill your minds as you witness the sacrament.